Raul Gatica is an indigenous activist from the state of Oaxaca in Mexico. He came to Canada last July for an international conference of indigenous people and filed a refugee claim shortly after his arrival. Raul Gatica is an organizer with Consejo Indígena Popular de Oaxaca, or CIPO. Gil Aguilar is a member of the Solidarity Group in Vancouver that supports CIPO. He joins me in the studio this morning to tell us more about the situation of Indigenous people in Oaxaca and about Raul Gatica. Hello, Gil.
Hi.
How did you first meet Raul?
We met at a lecture that he was giving at Simon Fraser University. He was trying to promote the work that he's doing in Oaxaca and to raise awareness of his issues by being here as a political refugee. And after the talk, we got together and we started talking. And that's why we, you know, started working together.
And that's how the Solidarity Group was formed here in Vancouver?
Yeah, it was basically people who expressed interest in what Raul was talking about. And slowly we began getting together and, you know, meeting with other people that were expressing the same sort of interest that, for example, I did, but I didn't know them yet, right? So it was like a sort of coming together from different areas, yeah.
And what kind of person is Raul? What do we know about him?
Well, Raul is an indigenous person from Oaxaca. He has been working with the CIPO for, I think, all his life, since he was about 12. And he is tireless with regards to working for indigenous struggles and to, you know, raise awareness about the issues and to solve the problems that they have had to face for so many years. So he is a very dedicated person, and he's in Vancouver because he has to. Otherwise, he'd be down in Oaxaca working with everybody else.
Tell us more about the situation that indigenous people face in Oaxaca.
Well, in Mexico in general, not just in Oaxaca, being an indigenous person is considered a bad thing. It's seen as something that you have to hide or that you should be ashamed of. In Oaxaca in particular, because of the high population of indigenous people, it creates a sort of weird dynamic where even though the majority of the population is indigenous, it is still very much repressed and frowned upon. So being an indigenous person in Oaxaca is not only a hard thing to do to you know, get by every day, but you also have to face repression whenever you try to organize, whenever you try to deal with the issues that you have to solve in your communities. So it is very tough, and it is very hard to get something accomplished in indigenous communities. And nevertheless, they have never given up, and they are working very hard still to obtain what they have always wanted, which is basic things like recognition of the rights of the language, their culture, and also to obtain the benefits that they are entitled to as citizens of a country or of their own land, right?
Tell me more about the work that CIPO, the organization that Raul has been involved in, is involved in. What kind of work do they do?
CIPO was created in the early 80s as a coalition of organizations. So there were, I think, six organizations that came together, and they were sort of grassroots organizations, NGO sort of organizations. After a while, many of those organizations left, and only the communities, like the actual indigenous communities, were left. And they decided to continue with the CIPO. So the work that they do is, in a sense, grassroots building. For example, they go out and they build their schools because they have no schools. The government will not build schools. Or if, for example, they built a hospital in one of the communities, which is basically a little shack that has no supplies, and the doctor comes once every 2 weeks to the community. So what CIPO is doing and what the communities are doing is to take matters in their own hands and to try to solve problems with what they have and with what they can do, right? So in that sense, they are basically building on their own.
Mm. So in a sense, they're in addition to doing organization or political organization, they're actually doing direct action in the sense of taking their own fate and their own issues into their hands.
Yeah, the CIPO has something called Tekyo, which is an indigenous word for something like, let's say, cooperation. So most members engage in Tekyo. I would say all members engage in Tekyo, and this means that members will try to help the community and the organization with whatever they can, so or in whatever way they can. So, for example, you know, people are poor; they don't have funds or resources to, you know, just pay for things. So, what they do is they go out and they work, and they, for example, work on the crops, or they work building, I don't know, a bridge, building a house. So they do engage very much in this sort of activities, and this is, I think, the core of what they do. The other side of that is to, you know, ask the government for recognition of the rights. So they, you know, create like civil disobedience, but not necessarily. So they do protests. They do, everything is peaceful and everything is according to the law. So there is never an issue there. It's just that the government likes to portray this as, you know, they are troublemakers, they are terrorists, they are working with guerrillas. But SIPO has never used weapons, has never done anything like that. And even still, they have been repressed by the paramilitary groups and the military.
What kind of repression does the organization face?
They faced all sorts of repression, from simple name-calling by people and by even government officials to actual, you know, the police will come and they will, for example, if they have a protest on the main city square, the police will come and they will harass them and start, you know, asking them to leave as if they had no right to be there. There's been cases when SIPO has gone into certain government offices and basically taken them over peacefully, and then the military is sent and they basically storm in and they beat people up, they imprison them. And then there's the bigger issue, that is the paramilitary groups. So these groups come into the actual communities and they just start harassing people, they start shooting. SIPO has had many members killed, and that's basically why Raul is here, because he's been a target for many, many occasions.
And I understand that there have been, I think, up to 500 members that were in jail.
Yeah. That's a big issue, because usually what happens is that the police will come in, they will just randomly select people. Also, they will select leaders, or what they perceive to be as important people, and they simply take them to jail for months, even years, without any charges laid or anything like that. And then SIPO, what they try to do is to work to get them out of jail, because there is no basis for them being there, but because of the political situation and you know, the ties between the police and the government and powerful landowners, it's very hard to simply go and do it the way it's supposed to be done, right?
Mm. I understand that Raul himself has been in jail a number of times.
Yeah, Raul has been imprisoned at least 11 times throughout his life. And every time that he's been imprisoned, the violence against him has escalated, because he doesn't quit. And he just takes it as, you know, if you're going to put me here to stop me, that's not going to work, and I'm going to show you. So every time that he's been taken into prison, it's been more violent.
Now, I understand Amnesty International has looked into his case. What did they find out? What did they conclude?
Well, Amnesty International has released documents to, like, recommendations for concerns for his safety. They have recommended the Mexican government to ensure that his safety is guaranteed. They have recommended the government of the state of Oaxaca as well to make sure that the threats that he's received are taken care of, and that he is provided security. The government of Oaxaca at the time simply dismissed this, and they said, well, we can't do anything, so if you want him to be safe, you know, you deal with that. So Amnesty International has been behind the case for a while, and they know that this is a real case, and they have acted accordingly, but unfortunately the government in Mexico has not paid attention at all.
Raul's refugee hearing is going to be on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What will he do if he's turned down?
Well, what we've been talking about, and Raul is very firm on this, is that the process to obtain a political refugee status here in our view, is something that should not be something to beg for or something to you know, be on your knees begging all the time. If the case is you know, documented and it's real, like in the case of Raul, we both, or we all at the Comuna, feel that he should not have to go through an appeal process or anything like that, because all the evidence is there and it's tangible. So in that sense, Raul will not try to appeal. We're still talking about that, because even though we are firm in this, we're also very concerned that if he is rejected and he's sent back to Mexico, he's going to be in danger. In general, though, we feel very strongly that he should not have to go through an appeal process, because everything seems to be, you know, okay with the documentation, and his situation is totally real. So,
you've got an event organized tonight to support Raul and Sipo. Can you tell us more about what you've got planned?
Yeah, tonight we're trying to have a party / festival, so that people can come and, you know, get involved with the indigenous struggle in Mexico and Oaxaca. So we're trying to do events that do not necessarily mean, you know, like a very serious lecture where you have to learn, more than, you know, you just come out, you have a good time, and you manage to learn things and get involved. So we have, for tonight, a series of things. For example, we have a capoeira show from some people that helped us with that. They are supporting us in that way. We also have
that's a combination. Is it Brazilian dance and martial arts?
Yeah, that's right. So there's going to be an exhibition of that at the beginning, and then we're going to have some traditional Oaxacan dances that some members of the organization are going to be performing. We're going to be showing a documentary that another member of the organization is finishing up. She just went down to Oaxaca to visit and gather some stuff that we needed for the event. And there's also going to be mole, which is a Mexican chocolate sauce. It's very traditional and it's very Oaxacan. We're going to be serving that all night. And then we're going to have music so people can just dance and, you know, have a good time.
Sounds like a excellent way to raise the energy and the consciousness at the same time.
Yeah. The idea here is that we want to get people involved without having to, you know, ask them or preach anything. You know, just have a good time with us, and we'll, you know, let you know about the issues that we're talking about.
Brilliant. Great. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot for having me.
We'll give the information so people can attend the event where it's going to be.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. I've been speaking with Gil Aguilar. Gil Aguilar, and the event tonight is at St. Michael's Church. That's at 409 East Broadway, and it starts at 7 p.m., and it sounds like not to be missed.